Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Good morning to everybody that stayed up till nearly midnight to watch the Commanders Chiefs game. If you're a big baseball nerd, you stayed up till about 3 a.m. to watch the end of the World Series game. It's a terrible Tuesday on the Fan, presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Commanders fall to 3-5 on the season after a dispiriting 28-7 loss to the Chiefs at, let me get the official name of it, Geehaw Field at Arrowhead Stadium is the complete name of that stadium.
I thought there were some positives, though, despite the loss. Now, the second half wasn't great, but there were definitely some positives in that game yesterday for the Commanders.
Oh, you're going to lead with positives?
You didn't think there were positives?
I mean, there were a couple, but, I mean, they got blasted by 21 points.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I think they had some missed opportunities. I don't know why Lattimore doesn't dive on the football.
Hold on. The number one positive.
Marshawn Lattimore? Except he didn't dive on the fumble.
I know.
I don't know what he's doing there.
He tried to pick it up.
To me, the number one positive.
That was dumb. But at least I thought he played really well.
I mean, if we're gleaning positives, that the first half was kind of like Bill Callahan was coaching the team again. Yeah. That first half went by with the quickness. Yeah. There was just so much running the ball.
I think the positive is the first half they gave them a chance, but it's also when they lost the game, right? Because they didn't obviously didn't capitalize on it. Three times where they could have gone down and scored touchdowns. Now you have a real game. Second half is just where you got embarrassed.
They couldn't finish drives.
Yeah.
I thought the first half went slow.
Oh, it went fast.
I thought it went slow.
Maybe the second quarter.
Oh, the second quarter was.
Went slow, but the first quarter was.
It was like an hour. We were at halftime.
It's because they had a long first drive, but to EB's point, and the reason why I say there are positives is I think you can build off this offensively. They did not finish drives, but they were moving the ball. Yeah. You look at that first drive, they're just moving the ball, and people were wondering about the Chiefs' defense being so dominant, only allowing three first downs the week before. Washington was moving the ball pretty easily, and then Mariota throws a perfect wide receiver screen to Debo, and he just fumbles it.
That's a fumble.
Should be a fumble. Counts as an interception.
Yep.
And it kind of happened over and over again where they would move the ball. Then they would decide to go for it on fourth down. And unlike last year where they converted every fourth down, they weren't able to convert fourth downs. Ertz finishes just short on one. Mm-hmm. That reminded me of the Steelers game last year where it comes down to a mark.
Man, he looked like he was that was a first down. But I know they do. They got the chips in the ball and everything. He was 5 inches short. I would agree. I thought the first quarter, they certainly moved the ball. They just couldn't capitalize because Debo fumbled it. Now they got the ball back because Lattimore got the picks. But, they were going down
Your computer's audio's on, I think, Jason. Possibly. Somebody's audio's on their computer, I think.
Hopefully it's not mine. Mine. Sorry, mine's muted.
Maybe JP.
Mine's muted.
Or there's a monitor in here.
You're getting an echo on your headphones?
FYI.
By the way, there's no chips in the ball for the spot.
Yeah, there's not.
Right. The spot has nothing to do.
It's still a crappy spot.
Whatever they use.
No, it's still humans. The spot is
human.
Yeah.
But the measurement itself is based off of technology.
Right.
Yeah, the virtual spot is just
a joke.
They're just
I'll say it's a joke.
They're eliminating the chain
game. It looked like a first down.
It's a joke. Yeah. The echo is tilting. Someone should come in here and listen.
Where is it exactly coming from?
I think it's coming from a monitor.
I'm not sure.
Hold on.
There's a computer.
I don't even think my volume in my 1946 model works, but hold on. Let me see.
Yeah. We got a million things going on in here. So.
I never want you to get rid of that
computer.
Just
look at the settings.
It's not my.
Don't you have a little microphone there where you
no,
can see?
No, but the button doesn't work. The light doesn't work. So I don't know if it's on or off.
Can you hear the echo?
I know, but can't you use your mouse to find the microphone setting?
There's
something else
going
on. It's not on. I don't know what it is, and it's almost impossible to function. But let me just say this again. There were some positives in the sense that I thought they were flying around. They played hard. There's no question about it. They were competitive in the first half. But
had a couple turnovers.
But that's where they lost it also.
We've been waiting for them to have turnovers on defense. They had two interceptions.
I just find it hard to glean a lot of positives out of just, well, I mean.
No, you could just poop on them.
You don't think they played better?
They did play. They did play a little bit better, but they got embarrassed. There's no doubt they got.
Yeah, but there's context. They played better than they had.
They scored double digits
in the
I mean,
first half.
What are we talking about here?
Look, it was a 7-7 game. They were moving the ball in the first half.
Right.
Second half was awful.
Second half was awful.
The Chiefs woke up in the second half. They were kind of playing with their food in the first half, and maybe some of that was Commanders led. But then the Chiefs are like, okay, we're going to put this team away, and they decided to do and they strung together three long drives, and they buried the Commanders.
That's why, Eric, that's why on those turnovers that they created, and they actually created some turnovers.
They did.
You got to capitalize and
get some points. Of course, that's why I say they actually lost the game in the first half.
Yeah, right.
And the second half was just kind of embarrassment. And the Chiefs were a better team, no question about
it. They're better,
We picked the Chiefs 6 months ago when the schedule came out. But it is frustrating because there were opportunities where they could have made that game competitive. And
I mean, Washington had
it wasn't a sense, but in the score, but you just knew you had to score every time because they're too good.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes not going to throw an interception every time.
Right.
He's too good.
You can't play zone against him. They kept talking about it on the broadcast. He's just going to pick apart the zone. He makes a lot of plays.
Unless you're getting to him.
Off platform at the last second.
They were still only basically rushing four. Every once in a while they'd rush Wagner too, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But I did see more Jordan McGee. I did see more Tyler Owens.
Well, they changed the starting lineup too on defense. Luvu started at defensive end.
Yeah, they switched that around, which they needed to. So there were some subtle changes.
I also saw Bobby Wagner trying to cover Rashee Rice toward the end of the game.
Yeah, the Bobby Wagner thing, we just have to move on from
what are we
him.
Doing?
Well, then he also blew coverage on the Kareem Hunt deal where he just stopped.
He's dreadful in coverage. He's dreadful.
Yeah, he's a run stopper. That's what he does.
Yeah, and he's a heart and soul guy, and you love him, but he's a huge, huge liability on defense.
Right.
But at the end of the day, this season's shot. It's a code red this week, and it's okay. Life goes on. I got great kids.
Well, more injuries.
Great kids.
More injuries.
Oh, injuries to huge names, too, like Tunsil.
Yeah.
Kinlaw got banged up. Terry goes out
Terry
again.
Terry left the game.
Yeah.
Debo's just not the same. I mean, he played. I know he's trying to get through it.
Yeah.
He's not 100% because he just doesn't look like he has a burst. He's not focusing on the ball. The ball's right on him.
I know.
And he lets it go through and bounce off his helmet.
I was very disappointed.
It leads to a turnover.
I was very disappointed in Deeps.
I mean, he just needs
But look, they were throwing
needs to get healthy or play better or both.
He definitely has to play better. I don't think he's going to be healthy the entire year. I mean, a heel is going to.
That's a big problem.
Unless he gets healthy during a bye week and he's got 2 weeks off. But he. Look, they were going to him early. He caught three balls in the first quarter.
I mean, I like Jeremy McNichols, but he should not lead the team in receiving.
Yeah, but he's a stud.
I like him a lot. I like his skill set.
I'm never taking a shot at him.
You should lean.
He makes big plays.
I'm not taking a shot at him. I'm just saying that the way your offense works, he shouldn't be leading your team in receiving.
Somebody has to step up. And
they didn't finish, but I'm going to stand by it. I watched that game. I thought they looked much better than they did in the Dallas game.
Totally.
They looked way better.
They did.
Both defensively and on offense. Even though they only scored 7 points, They were moving the ball, and unfortunately, they had, I think, some bad breaks, whether it was a bad spot at times, yeah, or Deebo Samuel botches it. Like, that looked like a better performance, and I know in the end you lose by 20 points, than the Dallas Cowboys game.
Totally.
The Cowboys game,
but it's still bad.
You looked at that defense.
It may have been a slight step up from the Cowboys game, but it wasn't much better.
But JP, they ran for 60 yards.
Yeah, they got outgained 140-60 on the ground.
Yeah, but they didn't do much besides Mariota running the ball in the first half.
I mean, Bill had 9 carries for 25 yards.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
You're not going to win a game on the road against an opponent like that.
Now, they were doing a good job in those first couple drives and mixing and matching.
Right.
I would have liked to have seen that game play out. Now, you're not going to score 100% of the time, but let's just humor me. If they had scored on their first drive without the Samuel thing and then capitalized and scored touchdowns on the two turnovers, obviously that's 21 points.
Could have been a different game.
And you know, Kansas City could have scored 50 for all I know. Who knows? But I would have liked to have seen that game play out that way.
I would agree that they definitely looked better. They looked faster defensively.
They were more aggressive.
They were more aggressive. But overall, unless you're going to score points, the Chiefs, you're not going to hold the Chiefs to 10 points.
No. You knew it at halftime when they were held to 7 that you knew it would, the tsunami was coming in.
Right.
Could you withstand it?
Well, I tweeted it at the time.
The defense couldn't.
After the second turnover, when they didn't score, you're like, you can't win if you don't capitalize on the turnovers.
Right.
It's only a matter of time. You're just like holding back a freight train.
Yeah.
And you can only do that for so long. So, look, props to them. They're moving. They can win a Super Bowl.
They're going in the right direction.
We're kind of spiraling in the toilet here. It is what it is. I don't care what anybody says. Injuries are a factor. I mean, now you lose Tunsil. Terry hurt again. All the injuries we talked about. Jaden, golly knows when he comes back. I mean, injuries have definitely been a factor, and you just haven't been as good.
Well, the Seattle game is a must win.
Oh, it's code red.
Absolutely.
It's a code red. It's a
must
win.
I mean, they're 8% right now to make
Jaden's
the playoffs.
Jaden's got to play.
8%.
I don't know if you're going to have Tunsil or Kinlaw or Terry. Who knows? But Jaden has to play and will play.
I mean, I just can't think of more guys they could lose. I mean, who else?
I don't know.
Everyone's hurt.
It's one of those years, man.
It's one of those years.
Hey, my top positive, Ben Sinnott had a
22-yarder.
Look at that.
The only thing I've been a Sinnott defender, he sure looks slow.
He did not look fast.
He sure looks slow.
He's faster than Zach Ertz, but that's not saying a lot.
I don't know that he's faster than Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce's not fast.
Well, not at this point in his career.
Yeah.
I know who's better.
I'll say
Travis Kelce.
I mean, even though Terry didn't put up a ton of yards, he scored, but he looked like the old Terry with those diving catches.
He was impactful, but... You can't stay healthy.
I mean,
it's just a lost season. It's fine. It's swirling in the toilet bowl right now. But whatever. Yeah. Like I say, you got great kids. You got great kids. I got great kids. It's not that important.
Focus on just the kid. Focus on life.
Focus on your offspring.
Yeah. Working on my golf swing. Everything's fine.
But what if no one has great kids? Yeah. What do you tell them?
They got nothing to fall back on.
I'm sure you have great parents. Great family.
Then take up a hobby.
Things are important. Yeah.
Take up some sort of hobby.
I mean, you probably have a dog. Probably a nice dog.
All right, we have a lot to get to on a terrible Tuesday. John Keim from ESPN.com, he'll join us coming up at 7. And Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, he joins the show coming up at 9 o'clock here on The Jump.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Washington now three and five, and based on the Athletics playoff simulator, Commanders have an 8% chance to make the playoffs.
But there's a chance.
There's a chance.
That's the way I think about it.
Helping us break everything down from last night, another guy who was in Kansas City, Logan Paulson, joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. LP, are you back? How was your travel, sir?
I'm back, man. I'm back. A little sleepy, but we're back.
Oh, you probably got to come home last night.
He's been back. He's back last night, you know.
Yeah, that's living. Living life.
Living life.
So, dude, I saw you briefly in the tunnel last night after the loss. And I think you made an important point. You kind of looked at me and said, you know, Kansas City is really good. Like, how much of this was KC just being a dynasty? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think it's a good question. I think it's a great point. Like, I think, you know, obviously, like, they came out in the first half and you saw, like, the Commanders gave Kansas City everything they can handle. But the thing that separates Kansas City from other teams is they've won hundreds of games in hundreds of different ways, right? So, like, they can throw picks, they can be down, they can be tied, they can be in an emotional game in the first half, and they're just going to keep chopping wood in a way that you can only cultivate that skill set through winning a ton of football games and playing together forever. Like, watching Patrick Mahomes back there was never a moment of panic or doubt from anyone on that sideline for them. And so I think when you're playing a team like that, when you're playing maybe the best team in football at the moment, like playing one of the best teams in the last decade of the NFL, they're not going to give you one. And so you got to play good, clean football throughout. And obviously, as you get into the second half there, you see an increase in the penalties. You see an increase in Kansas City's third down conversion percentage. You see a decrease in Washington's ability to convert on third down. And you see some mistakes on special teams. When you're playing a team of that caliber, you just can't do that stuff. And again, like, it's a testament to Kansas City. It's a testament to their resilience. And again, hats off to them. Good football team offensively and defensively, quite frankly.
When you saw the lost opportunities early in that game, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to be a little bit, you know what I mean? Because in those moments, like, you've been a part of teams like that where you know you're kind of punching above your weight class a little bit. And, like, so for example, you get the interception, great job by Marshawn Lattimore. You go down, drive the length of the field, and you turn over on downs, right? Or the interception to Deebo Samuel in the low red zone or the high red zone there on the 18-yard line. Like, those are missed opportunities for points. And let's say you come out of that sequence and it's 14-0. All of a sudden, I don't care how resilient Kansas City is, they're going to feel some type of way about that game flow and about that score. Mm-hmm. So I just think, missed opportunities is a great way to characterize it, because against good football teams, you have to, must, essential to capitalize on those moments. So the fact that they didn't, I think, was frustrating and obviously disappointing. I'm a fan of this team. I want them to win that football game. And the way that they have to win it is by maximizing those opportunities, which unfortunately they weren't able to do.
Look, you know, you go into games and like you see people for years, they have backups that are going into games. And as much as we say all these guys are professional athletes, you lose a lot when you lose your starters. And this team hasn't had their full gamut of players one game. How much of that is the reason for the problems they're dealing with now?
I mean, I think it's, you know, not to make excuses, but it's a huge reason, right? Like, I think I just read the statistic that the Commanders have the most starters on IR up to this point in the season of any team in the NFL. And so as much as you want to say it doesn't matter, next man up, which is a good mindset. Like, I'll give you a good example. Like, when Jordan Reed got hurt, when I was playing for the Washington Commanders, I'll tell you, you weren't getting the same offensive production from old Logan Paulson out there with his neck roll and his big face mask. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's a different skill set. It's a different skill set. You get different people out there. And you had roles. You had roles and ideas and visions for how the team was going to be laid out. Like, I think about a sneaky one, like Dietrich Wise, Doran Strumstrong, not having those guys. Like, think about the impact that's had on Joe Wood Jr. and this defense. Like, it's again, it's not an excuse. You got to build the roster. You got to be able to overcome that stuff. But it's hard to overcome. And there's a reason that teams with good injury luck win the Super Bowl every year. Like, last year, Philadelphia was, like, the least injured team in the NFL. Like, yeah. There's a reason that stuff is important. It's because your best players are healthy. You get them for a larger majority of the games. And think about it. Even though we have the most starters out, like, Jaden Daniels has missed 3 games. Terry's missed 4 games. Debo's missed 2 games. Like, huge features of this team. Laremy Tunsil misses a big bunch of the game last night. Like, huge features of this team aren't there. And I don't care how good of a coach you are, how well thought the roster is. Like, you can't get 2 Laremy Tunsils on a roster. You can't get 2 Terry McLaurins on a roster. And you feel the impact of those injuries in games like last night.
You know, I've said it to you many times, Jay. I said, if a team doesn't have a lot of injuries one year, bet your ass is coming the next. And I did not expect it to happen with this team. And I said it last year. There were teams that were not getting injured. And then the next year, it comes, because all that thing does is goes in waves. If you're in the NFL, your team will deal with it at one point or another.
It's a great point. And I think the other thing, too, I'd just point out is, like, so at the beginning of the season, when we're talking about projections for the roster or for the season in terms of win-losses, mm-hmm. like, they have a tougher strength of schedule. We knew it was going to be challenging. But you're kind of operating under the assumption that the team is going to be healthy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the team is not healthy. They've been bit by a pretty significant injury bug. And it's just not the same team that we were projecting, you know, this offseason. So I think that's another thing that makes it really hard, because you're also dealing with expectations. Like, expectations were set that this was going to be a 10-win football team. And when you're banged up like this, it makes it so much harder to achieve those goals like this season.
Logan, for me, it's like, I think fans are misguided to be really upset about last night in what is an incredibly difficult environment to win against a fantastic, you know, powerhouse team, like the best team of this era, right? The problem is losing to the Bears and the Cowboys. Like, if Jaden just holds on to that ball, like, if there's no fumble in the fourth quarter against the Bears, you wonder if it's all very, very different right now. And I think that's the bigger issue. Is it's one thing to go to KC and lose a tough game, but, like, to lose to teams that you like to think you are better than, that last year you were better than, that are other NFC teams, that's the issue.
I think that's a great point. You know, like, again, like, the Bears one is so easy to talk about because it's so close to being a victory. You know, in a primetime moment, you just, like, make a mistake. And I actually thought the team played on the whole relatively well in that game, but it didn't feel right because you lost the football game, right? Obviously, the Cowboys came in, were a little outclassed. The injury bug was a huge factor in that game in terms of the wide receivers. Yeah. They were able to play a form of defense that they weren't able to. But to your point, like, it's the Kansas City ones, the Kansas City teams, like the class of the NFL. might be out of the reach, you know, when you're playing the statistical probabilities. Obviously, like B said, there's always a chance you can beat anybody any weekend. But, like, you know, there's a reason that Vegas is good at their job, right? They set betting lines. They set things up that way. And I looked at it and I said, like, the ones you shouldn't beat are the ones that are close, the ones that you feel like give you the opportunity. So, yeah, I definitely feel that analysis, and I think that's a great point.
Yeah, I think the Dallas game, it's a rivalry, but – just got our ass kicked in that game.
Yeah.
That one you got to just let go. That's just one that you
– it was right an awful matchup. Yeah.
But the Bears game, I think that is one you can really look at. And you think at that point, this team's sitting at 4-4 with 9 left. And you get healthy at that point, some amazing things can happen. So, you know.
It's – yeah, that's a difficult one.
Yeah.
Look, for you, man, knowing it's Seattle and then Detroit and then this trip to Madrid – 3-5, first time ever in the DQ era. They're under 500, two games under 500, rather. You know, what is the message to this team, especially Tunsil injury, Kinlaw injury, Terry injury? Seems like there's more injuries from last night that are at least unknown. Not saying that there's somebody's out or any of that, but like more guys got banged up last night. We know that much.
Yeah, and I think obviously, like, DQ is excellent at his job in terms of motivating guys and finding things to make sure that they stay on task and stay focused. But to me, after I watched the film this morning, I think the thing that jumps out to me is, like, man, like, we, the Commanders, if they just do what they're supposed to do, like, just play man coverage, get to the zone spots they're supposed to get to, rush with good integrity on defense, have the pass protection pickups on offense, you know, get the run targeted correctly. Like, it's a much closer game than it is on paper. And I think if you can find that level of consistency, you know, like, it's just going to be helpful. And you can win games. You can win tight games. And I think that's the thing, is they showed you in the first half what this team can be when they're executing at a high level. Like, we just talked about the regression from the first half to the second half. Like, when we're converting third downs, the offense looks good. When we're getting the ball out defensively, like, we look good defensively. And then when we're playing penalty-free football, that's the other one that sticks out to me. And then obviously in the second half, it's kind of the total reverse of that. It was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so if I'm Dan, I think there's a lot of reasons, and I'm not just saying this because I'm an optimistic person. I think there are legitimate reasons when you get the film on to be optimistic. It's just like saying, can we as a group, without these guys that we were counting on in big roles, can we as a group of kind of like the remaining staff figure out how to get this more consistently?
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the best teams, when you look at Kansas City, their defense is incredibly consistent. Their offense is incredibly consistent, and that's what makes them a good football team. So can we find that level of consistency through our own ranks? And if we can, I think we got a real shot here to be the team that we thought we could be at the beginning of the year.
I think when you look at it, Logue, just in that first half, you watch guys running man-to-man, and they stayed with their man. In the second half, they run man-to-man, and somebody crossed their face. They let their man run, and they started looking at the other guy and following him. It's like you're driving down the street, and you know you got to go to a Walmart, but you can't go past Jollibee because you see Jollibee over there. You stop it there. And you know, you're on a time crunch. Wife told you, go to Walmart, come back, because y'all got to go somewhere. You over at Jollibee getting the spicy chicken, and you get back late.
That just sounds like a very specific situation. You're just a very specific hypothetical.
You get distracted sometimes. I'm just saying, you know, Jollibee is in between Walmart and the house, and then they add 25 minutes to the ride. So, but it's just like that. I'm watching guys are trailing their guy, and another guy cross, and they just hesitate, and that's all it takes.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because that's something that came out a little bit, you know, on the Travis Kelce explosive and the check down there in man coverage. There's bad eyes. There's a couple plays in the red zone. But also, like, to be fair to the coverage structure, like, Patrick Mahomes is extending the play in the pocket or out of the pocket. And so what does that tell me? Either we got to be more consistent with our rush, so like our rush lanes, our rush integrity, and keep them in the pocket. You know, and I think, again, like, it all comes down to details. Like, we're stressing the back end because he's running around for 4 seconds. Like, we got to – it's a
sometimes
team game
more than
for a
that.
Reason. We got to be accountable up front.
Sometimes so, 8-9 seconds. He's a damn magician, man.
He's a special football player.
You look at him, you don't see athleticism, but that dude can do some things that even athletic quarterbacks don't do. He keeps the ball – he keeps the play going longer and longer, and then he'll throw a pass where he's looking down the right sideline, and he completes the pass way on the left side, across over the middle. Special dude. Yeah.
Special football player, man. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why, I mean, what's the most important thing for building a winning culture? It's, you know, it's coach, GM, but it's also the quarterback. And they have a great one there who elevates that roster tremendously.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Rashee Rice? That dude's game is interesting. I mean, he's in a lot of ways like a younger, maybe faster Debo. Like when Debo was breaking through with the Niners mm-hmm. and he was this super tough physical wideout, like Rice has a lot of those similar characteristics.
Crazy, too.
Definitely crazy.
I think that's 100% right. Like, one of the things about him that's really interesting is, like, that offense is going to sound insane, but it's actually, like, don't have a lot of really detailed route runners. They got a lot of fast guys, but not a lot of guys that scare you in terms of winning in one-on-one situations. The second you bring him back into that offense, it becomes really, really dangerous because now you got a guy who can run the football, he can win from the backfield, he can win from the perimeter, he can win from the slot. In those man-to-man situations, and it's such a nice chess piece, especially for an offensive mind like Andy Reid, who does such a great job maximizing players' abilities and talents. So they're a different team when he's in the lineup. They're a different offense when he's in the lineup. He just gives them a different pitch, and they become that much harder to strike out.
It's something both of you guys had to deal with. Terry, when he's working his way back from this injury, and he allowed that it. On some level last night, maybe he just landed hard on the injured leg and it just hurt, or maybe there's something more there. We don't know. We won't speculate, right? But now you've got Terry trying to fight his way back on a short week. What, if any, impact does that make for McLaurin?
I think for Terry, you saw how frustrated he was when he got back. He talked to you all the other day. That game last night, he didn't want anything to come out of the game like with something happening. But I think, like you said, I think it's more of the fear. Guy just landed on it, and it scared him. I watched him jog off the field, and I believe that it was worse earlier. It's not worse now. You get what I'm saying? I think it's at a point now where it's more of the, I was so frustrated. He heard all of the noise. And he doesn't want to have to go through that stuff again.
Yeah.
Because the dude wants to be out there. And you see what he can do when he's out there.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with B. I think the other thing, too, is, like, psychologically, it's tough being injured. Like, when you have an injury and it keeps getting re-aggravated, there's this psychological inhibition that kind of keeps popping up. It's like, well, I can't. Am I healthy? Is this it? And so I'm sure there's a lot of question, a lot of doubt in his mind. And hopefully he's fine and hopefully he's ready to go this week. But if he's not, again, it comes back to, like, can we find some playmakers on the perimeter, guys that can kind of hurt teams the way Terry can? And the answer is probably no, because it's hard to find those guys in the regular season. But how do we elevate the guys that we do have if he doesn't play?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Logan, I wanted to ask you this. We're talking with our friend Logan Paulson. You can hear him on the Take Command podcast, Odyssey product with Grant Paulson. Check out all his work he does for the Commanders. You can give him a follow at Logan Paulson.
His twin brother.
Logan Paulson. Yeah. I'm not going to reference the 80s movie. At Logan Paulson, NFL. Dude, with the fourth, specific for me, you got fourth and one at the 28. I understand the decision to go for it. I like the decision to go for it. Is there a part of you that was a big physical tight end that wants to see Mariota under center and just sneak it? Mariota's 6'4", 225.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is part of me that wants to see him run. I also know that, and B can attest to that, like everyone thinks, oh, you know, run the football. But in a road environment, running the football is the advantages for the defense usually. Because, like, I, as a tight end, like on the perimeter, I can't hear the cadence. And so sometimes even the guards can't hear the cadence. And Kansas City gets pretty bumping, gets really noisy. And I remember in short yardage situations, coaches talking about, hey, like, traditionally we'd want to run the football here. But because of the environment, because of the noise, we prefer these other plays, you know, whether it's a roll pass or a screen or whatever it looked like in that moment. And I think that's something that it's a good reminder for people watching at home. It's just like the environment there dictates play call also. And I'm not saying that's what happened there, but I know for me, blocking short yardage goal line situations on the road was an absolute nightmare. And it really plays to the defense's favor.
That is a very good point, because if they line up at Jumbo and Mariota gets under center, that place just goes ballistic, mm-hmm. and everything is that yeah. much more condensed. That's it.
I tell you what I would always do like that in those plays. Hard. Boom. Snap. Quick snap.
Just go quick.
And set. I'm gone. Because if you allow the defense to get set and get the crowd going, you can have some problems with it. But if you got to catch them when they still trying to get settled.
I did. Yeah,
and to B's point, I think yeah. they did a good job of that. You know, like with the quick hurry up kind of throughout the first half there, it really didn't let the fans get into it. I thought it was a really good plan. But again, in that moment, like, you know, can you get the right play call in? Can you do it in your no huddles verbiage? It's an interesting thought for sure.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Logan, because I thought he had a really good game and kind of in the aftermath of the loss, I wanted to make sure I mentioned it. I remember when they signed Jacob Martin, B sat and watched some of the, I think you were just watching highlights.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And B's like, I like this dude. He gets off the line quick. And I thought Martin had a really good game last night in a game where they're desperate for somebody for edge pressure. What did you see from Jacob Martin, and what have you seen all year, Logan?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a guy that, you know, I played with him in Houston for a year, and he's just a guy that loves pass rushes and is detail-oriented with his pass rush and has the athletic background to be able to do some of the stuff that some of the high-level guys do. Like, I'm not saying he is a high-level guy, but he's got a really nice rhythm on his cross chop. He understands when to throw the power move, and he's got a nice low center of gravity and a nice strong lower half where he can actualize that power. So I do think, like, he's got a lot going for him. And, you know, a little bit of it's, like, disappointing because it's like, man, we're seeing all the stuff that he can do after Dorrance is out. And could you imagine if both those guys were working together in some kind of tandem with Von Miller? Like, it kind of paints a different picture in terms of how effective this pass rush could be. But I'm really happy for Jacob Martin. I mean, he's rushing well. He's a good football player. It's nice that he's getting this opportunity. And hopefully he can keep building off these opportunities and keep being productive.
Logan, we appreciate your time, man. Appreciate I know you, you're brother. Busy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Hi, Matt.
That's Logan Paulson. Give him a follow at Logan Paulson NFL. Finally on Twitter. Also, really good film stuff on Instagram. Back to the phones. Jeff, press the button. 800-636-1067. To the folks that stayed on hold, I'm looking at you. Mark, Brandon, Harry, and Keith, we're coming right to you when we return. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Terry, how's the crowd? Because you didn't go back in after the one play.
Yeah.
Is it an issue again?
Yeah, it's all right. You know, I'm just trying to take it day by day. Is, you know, just monitoring it. It's a little sore and everything. So, I mean, anytime I can just be out here fighting for the team, I'm always going to put myself out there. So, just see how the week goes and go from there.
Did you tweak it on the game?
I don't know yet, really. So, I'm just going to continue to take it day by day and just see how it feels in the morning. You know, it's hard to say is what it is or what it isn't. You know what I mean? So, I feel pretty good, but we'll just see how the week progresses.
Terry McLaurin, really, really good comeback game last night. Just three catches for 54 yards, but my God, two of those catches, incredible. During the break, I was looking at that fourth and one with, you know, 10 and a half minutes to go, first half at the Kansas City 28-yard line. It's a zero coverage all-out blitz. Washington's got four. They're man across the board, and Ertz wins big, and Mariota's got to hit him. And I don't know what he's looking at. I honestly, Terry doesn't win, not even close. He throws it, you know, towards the you know, pylon, basically. He ends up at the five. Terry's running, you know, an out and up and doesn't give me even a chance. Terrible, you know, execution. That's the worst play of the night offensively. The Debo play maybe is hurtful, but this is, you know, fourth and one, and it's one. It's not like, you know, fourth and one and a half or closer to fourth and two, and they get zero coverage blitz, and they get man, and Ertz wins immediately. And I think he's got to throw it. It's got to be out immediately to Ertz. No one else wins. Debo doesn't win. McCaffrey, you know, I don't think is going to win. And there's no time for McCaffrey and McLaurin anyway, because he's got to unload it because of the pressure. You got to have somebody hot there. And I think, you know,
Ertz is the one that won. That's the play you got to look at offensively and say, what happened? What are we doing here? Was it the quarterback that didn't pick up that this was zero coverage blitz? Would that have checked to something, you know, a little shorter, a little quicker? I mean, you got two of your four receivers running deep routes on fourth and one, and Ertz and Debo, you know, Debo's clearly more of a decoy, maybe on an out and up double move for Terry, but it had no chance, no chance. All right, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I've given you, you know, all of the things that I thought were good from the game, the things that were bad. You know, my overall theme to this day after is I'm not that upset. I thought that they really brought it last night, and they just got beat by, you know, a much better team and an otherworldly quarterback who was insanely great in the second half. That was vintage Mahomes in the second half, 17-19, and just, you know, making the plays himself with buying extra time through his vision and through his feet and through his ability to escape and extend. It's brilliant to watch. It sucks when it's, you know, your team playing against it. Or, you know, the team you've bet on. That's painful as well. But, yeah. Last thing on the list that of things that I did not like from the game. I didn't like the end of the first half. Now, there are some explanations to defend Quinn. But if you recall, there's an intentional grounding. You know, part of the pressure that they got on Mahomes the whole first half, they made it uncomfortable for him. And he, you know, has to take the ball in his left hand and try to get it back to the line of scrimmage, and he doesn't. It's intentional grounding. There's, you know, when the play ends, there are 6 seconds left on the clock. And on an intentional grounding, unless either team chooses to call a timeout, there's a 10-second runoff. And I just thought on that particular play, I want to use one of the three timeouts that I have. I haven't wasted them because of delay of games or almost delay of games. I haven't wasted them on defense. I've got all three timeouts left. Mahomes is pressured by Luvu, and he unloads it, and they call it grounding back at the 29-yard line. It's a, you know, a 10, 11-yard loss. And, you know, they let the clock do the 10-second runoff. Now, there are a couple of ways to look at this. I start with this. You know, he said, we're living on the edge tonight to Laura Rutledge. We're coming in bold. We're coming in, you know, swinging. You know, we're going to be going for fourth downs. We're not coming in here trying to tippy-toe our way conservatively to kind of hang in there. We're going for it. Okay, well, with 6 seconds to go in the half after the Mahomes play, let's use a timeout, avoid the 10-second runoff, and make them punt. And by the way, go for the block all out, because even if you rough the punter, they're not going to be in field goal range with the 15 yards. Give Jalen Lane a shot, because he's got a 90-yarder on the season. Now, the defense to what he didn't do, calling a timeout, would be, well, all you're going to do is they're going to snap it to Mahomes. He's going to run around and he's going to launch one down, you know, the field out of bounds, and the half is going to be over. Or even worse, he's going to launch one down the middle of the field. The clock will run out and we're going to end up interfering, you know, Kelsey on a jump ball or something. Okay. That's not an unreasonable take. But 6 seconds isn't 3 seconds. They were getting pressure. If they try to run an offensive play from their own 29-yard line with 6 seconds to go to run the clock out, it's probably going to be successful, but there's a chance it won't be. So take the timeout. The odds are in your favor if anything dramatic happening in your favor, not theirs. So I didn't love that. But I would understand the counter, which would be, yeah, they're going to run him around, and then he's going to launch one because he can throw it 70 yards in the air, and somebody's going to interfere with Rice, or the ball's going to get tipped, and Worthy's going to end up with it, and it's going to be a touchdown. Okay. I would have loved to have seen them trot the punt team out there, for sure. I thought for sure, by the way, when Kansas City took over after our touchdown, that they would get into field goal range. And they seem to be heading in that direction. You know, they gained 33 yards on the first or 30 yards on the first two plays. They're out there at the 40-yard line. And they got a legit shot. But give the defense credit. Kinlaw had, you know, a pressure. Amos had a PBU, I think, in that moment against Worthy. And then Luvu got that pressure that forced the intentional grounding. It was part of what was a pretty good half. In fact, again, I'll say it again, the best half defensively against a quality opponent all season long. All right, the other observation list. So at the end of the first half, before that opportunity for Quinn to use a timeout and force them to punt or run another play, there was an odd circumstance. So before Washington scores, two things happened that I thought that I haven't talked about. One was there's a second and 10 at the 2-minute warning, and it goes to McNichols down to the Kansas City 10-yard line. And they mark it short of the line to gain. So it's going to be third and one, or third and less than one. And the clock's rolling. And I was surprised Andy Reid didn't hit a timeout right away. He had two left, and I thought, call the timeout, minute 54 left, you know, and if they make it, you know, fine. If they miss it, you know, you got a shot to get the ball back, or they might kick a field goal. We'll see what happens. But he didn't call the timeout, and Washington's doing what they didn't do for much of the game, which is they're letting the clock run. If they're gonna get this third and one and they're gonna score here, they're gonna do it on their own terms. They're gonna take as much time. They're not gonna leave Kansas City with much time. But what happened is under 2 minutes you get the review by the booth, and they, you know, call down and say stop the clock. It stops at a minute 26 left, 14 seconds left on the play clock. And they change the spot, and they give Washington and McNichols on the catch and run a first down at the Kansas City 10-yard line, 11-yard line. And then they say, please adjust the clock to a minute 54 seconds, and Kansas City has chosen to use a timeout. Now, maybe Andy Reid didn't call the timeout because it's third and one and he figures Washington's going to get it. Washington's not going to run out of time. You know, that's one of those situations. You're down at the 10-yard line. You got three timeouts left. You're not going to run out of time. As a defensive, you know, team, you're thinking, how do I preserve time for my offense? I don't think that there's a massive difference between him calling a timeout on third and one or him calling a timeout on first and 10, but they gave him the opportunity to think about it. They adjusted the clock and he called the timeout. So the Chiefs ended up having a lot more time on the clock on their final drive of the first half because of, you know, the bad spot and then the review. And then on the play before the touchdown to Terry McLaurin, did anybody else think that was a catch by Debo down at the, you know, 1 yard line? I thought it was certainly worth halting the game to review. It seemed like, and maybe they did it and they had a view that said, no, it wasn't. I thought it was pretty damn close to a catch. What else do I have on this list? I think I already mentioned, you know, before Kansas City's touchdown on fourth and goal to open up the third quarter to take a 14-7 lead, they got a terrible spot on Rashee Rice's catch where he extends it towards the pylon. It gets to about the one, maybe even inside the one, but they ruled that he was out of bounds. They marked it close to the 3-yard line, and the Chiefs ended up with a fourth and goal from almost the three. It was like the 2.5 that they did convert for a touchdown. I've already mentioned Lattimore, you know, not landing on the ball. I don't know whose fault it was on the Mariota sack on Washington's second possession of the second half. You know, this is the Terry catch down the sideline that gets overturned. We were at their 38-yard line on third and 11, and this is a big play, right? Because you've got to, in that moment, it's 21-7. You've got to score. and you need a couple of yards. You need 5 or 6 yards so you have a fourth down opportunity that you can go for. You could also consider kicking a field goal. I don't know if that would have been the best call at that point, down 21-7. And there's an immediate sack on Mariota. And they initially said it was Connerly, but I think you saw Cosme over there on the sideline. By the way, Cosme, first rate, upstanding the whole thing. Somebody should just ask him. He'll say, my fault, if it was. But there was a miscommunication there. They left Dana wide open on a blitz that cost Washington 9 yards and forced a punt on 4th and 21, 4th and 20. That was not good. Yeah, I mentioned Newton's 15-yard penalty after a sack. I thought Newton actually played pretty well. That's, whatever. It's the end of the game, and they're down 28-7 at that point. All right, 301-230-0980. Real quickly, Max, your big takeaways were?
Oh, man, the big takeaway was, like you said at the beginning, it's looking better. The guys came to play. I texted you that last night, and the second half, I mean, it was just here. And I don't know, understand why we switched to a zone defense against Mahomes, especially when we weren't getting a ton of pressure. But he was just dancing around the pocket, making plays. Going forward, you need Jaden Daniels back, or else it's cooked. The season is over. So you've got to look at his status right now and then kind of make that decision right now if you want to be buyers or sellers at the deadline. And I think it's time to retool and look forward and look long term, because I think that right now in this iteration of this team and this defense, it's not really going anywhere.
Yeah, there was more zone defense last night than man, but they can't cover man. They can't do it, especially against some of the speed that the Chiefs have. And I think that is more about, trying to keep everything in front of you. Now, they ended up with some catches near the line of scrimmage, like the Kelce play that goes for 38 yards. Look, the second half defensively looked more like it's looked in recent weeks. But, not exactly. They had opportunities, whereas last week they didn't have many of them at all. All right, your calls next when we come back. So Joe, Anthony, Reggie, Jody, Steve, Dre, Tony, Cam, everybody on hold, stay there. Your reaction, 28-7 the final, 3-5, Seattle coming to town for Sunday Night Football. Feels very much like a must-win for me. I'm saying 3 of the next 4, you got to get to 6-6. So if they lost, theoretically, they could win the next 3. But do you really want to have Detroit coming in? That would then be a must-game to avoid 3-7. You got to get to December at 6-6. 5-7, we'll be sitting here not out of it mathematically, and you're looking at Minnesota in that first game in December. They're obviously in tatters right now. The Giants on the road, but then it's Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles to finish up. You got to get to 6-6 where you've got a legit shot and a little bit of room to drop a game or two and yet still have a chance, and probably just drop one. Because I think you got to get to 10 to have any legitimate chance this year. All right, your calls.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Next.
Time to head to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to John Keim. He covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. John, thank you for joining us. We know you're on very limited sleep. A little birdie just told me that you went to bed at 3:30 in the a.m.
Did you watch the World Series game?
I didn't think I went. By the time I got back to the room, I was like, oh, there's no way it's still on. I was wrong.
Yeah. You were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I was just talking about with the Chick Hernandez here at the airport. Like,
So you got
I had a little mishap. I thought I lost my wallet, and I got panicked, and I started driving. It's like, oh, it actually is in the car. So by the time I got back to the room, I was just happy to be in my room.
So you got back at 3:30, got to bed, and it's – then you – what time's your flight?
7:45. I got here a little bit early. Because you don't know how bad the rush is at some of these airports after a game like this, because you know a lot of people are traveling. But
will you be able to sleep on a plane? Are you good at that?
Not really. Yeah. And because, like, especially like on these flights, this is when I rewatch the game is on the plane ride back. So that. So it's, you know, sometimes I will say this. Sometimes that does put you to sleep. And this one might do that.
Yeah.
Well, so frustrating.
But they came out strong. You know, moved the ball. I don't get the Debo mistake. You got to catch that ball, right? But, you know, Lattimore gets the pick, so get the ball back. They drive again, and then that's when they had the fourth down to Ertz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they were moving the ball in the first couple possessions, but DQ talked about it. He said, look, you got to take advantage of those situations against the Chiefs.
I thought that was the big key. I mean, totally. You know, it's like if you're watching any sporting event, whether it's basketball, the other, you know, a really good team is missing a lot of shots, and you're keeping pace with them, like, okay, you're tied, but you should have been ahead. And, like, I think that's the case here, that the way they had to go, they had to be almost not perfect. It's hard to be perfect, but you had to be mistake-free and, like, big mistakes, right? And the Debo drop was massive to me. Like, that when that happens, like, you just kind of set a negative tone. And then even when Lattimore gets it, like, well, you still blew a chance to go up. Mm-hmm. And the fourth down one, same thing. Like, you're in that position and you just can't get it. It was three times. The first three possessions, they're in position to get something, and they didn't. And that's – you just – like, you can't – you know that Kansas City is going to get going at some point.
That's where they lost it. Totally. That's where they lost it.
Yeah, so it's 7-7 at halftime, which is encouraging, except that if you know, you know. Yeah. And that was a tough one.
Hey, John, how much of a curveball was it that they had to put Matt Gay, you know, on the injured list, and Matthew Wright takes over? Like –
yeah,
he got a jersey at like 4:00.
Yeah. I think they were looking for that kid from Vandy who made $500,000.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where it's really tough. And I think the hard part is too, you can't take the chance that, like, okay, you know, if I mean, because a lot of it was, I mean, Matt Gay traveled here, And then a lot of it was going to be, how does he feel Monday after he gets up, and et cetera. But you can't take the chance that even if there's anything, that you run into a Graham Gano situation where he's in the game and, you know, and something happens and now you're screwed. So that's kind of part of it too. So yeah, that's never easy, but, you know, and that didn't really, I mean, that fortunately for them didn't factor into it because nothing really changed. They didn't do anything different because of that. And I think they would have been okay if that guy was kicking extra points.
Right. Can you talk about, I don't know, I thought from my couch, right, as good as I can sense it, that I did feel like there was energy, like DQ yeah. talked about. They're flying for around. Sure. I mean, noticeably different, which is kind of shocking at the pro level, but they were noticeably more aggressive. I liked it. I thought there was a noticeable, from a guy on the couch, it's difficult to track things. Sometimes I'm going, where's Terry? And he might have been there, but I couldn't see him half the time. But I did notice that, like, the younger linebackers, and say, like, you know, Jordan McGee was out there more. Tyler Williams was out there more. I like that. Luvu was obviously in a different spot. I guess I like that. But I still felt like they weren't more. They still were, for the most part, it seemed like they were pressuring four. They weren't. I want to see just a little bit more. Like, take more chances, because you know a guy like Mahomes is going to pick you apart. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. What did you feel?
Yeah, I definitely thought there was more energy, and mm-hmm. you know, you could see it before the game, the way they were reacting in warm ups, especially on defense. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you play those younger guys who, especially like McGee, has a little bit. You know, he's not. I mean, he has some speed, and so, you know, Owens mm-hmm. brings a little bit of energy, and they were using. It's almost like they're basically playing like a 34 front,
right?
So you definitely get that. And as far as like the blitzing and all that, they played. You know, the zone. It's like it becomes harder to send a lot more, and the problem is that they always have some coverage issues.
Right.
So the more you're going to do that, the more you're going to be susceptible to that.
Can't they just man up more, even though they're not good at it? Just try to force a bad play? I don't know.
Yes, you can. I think we've seen that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there's a good solution for what their coverage is, because I say that, and there were definitely times where it's like, okay, you are in zone, but you're playing this kind of zone, and this guy's got to stay back here, and you're not doing that. And in the red zone, you have, like, you know, almost like a zone match, and you know, you have Bobby Wagner passing a guy off, and Tyler mm-hmm. Owens doesn't stick with him. So, mm-hmm. like, there are mistakes all the time in both ways. So, yeah, you could do a little bit more of that for sure. And I do think, like, against some quarterbacks, you probably will, right? Because mm-hmm. you're going to have a good choice. If it's not working, you've got to find a way to create something. But at least I will say, like, in the first half, the defense did as well as you could expect.
Ever predict.
Yes. Right.
Now,
yes.
My problem with it is, they, unless they were creating turnovers, they weren't going to stop them.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
And until you do that, like, that's, you know, it's great to, you know, but at least, like, if you're not going to stop them, at least you created turnovers and gave your offense the ball. And so they did their job. And then it's after a while, like, the offense isn't converting on third down and you're not good enough to stop them.
Yeah.
So, JK, I know you won't know until later today or tomorrow, but the guys who got banged up, Tunsil with the hammy. Hammies are never good, especially for huge tackles. Also, Kinlaw, and then Terry. Any vibe on how serious those three are?
So, we're not sure yet on Tunsil. And as you know, we'll get an update Wednesday and another one Friday, right?
Right.
So, that's how this works. But I don't know. I know that, you know, I don't know when that happened because – you know, apparently, like, Brandon Coleman was out there at left tackle during pregame with the starters at one point, like, for the last series of pregame warmups, he was in there. And then Tunsil was in, then out, then back in, then out. So I don't know. With Terry, he said he's pretty optimistic about it, felt pretty good, but you don't know. Like, the next day is always the key. So you can be optimistic about it, but they were optimistic the first time, and he was mm-hmm. out for 4 weeks. So I think that's when you go through the week. Kinlaw was trying to get back in the game. They worked on his shoulder. You could see him working on, like, range of motion and everything. Then he was on the sidelines ready to go back in, and, like, they're kind of – they weren't, like, holding him back, but, like, Daryl Tapp is sitting there telling him, no, you can't. And then Dan Quinn came over and talked to him. but he was ready to go back in. So, but again, like how you are during the game is can be different than how you are the next day or the day after when the injuries really kind of take hold and the momentum, the adrenaline of a game wears off.
Mm-hmm. Any sense like I felt like it was definitely better, even though at the end of the day, the score's so lopsided that we were down so low last week that I do feel better, even though we got smoked and kind of humiliated in the second half. I believe it or not, I actually feel a little bit better. But I do, I've come to the realization it's a lost season. They're not going to be officially eliminated for quite a few weeks, probably. But it is what it is. What are the chances that this just turns into a complete fire sale if they lose to Seattle?
Oh, I don't see that. First of all, I don't know how many guys would qualify as that. Like that would be
well, maybe really like a Payne. Maybe if somebody wants a Debo or something for a fifth rounder. I don't know.
And you know, I don't like with Payne. He's got the $28 million cap hit next year. But no guarantee money. You can do that move in the offseason if you wanted to. But I haven't heard that.
Okay.
And the other part is too. Here's the other part. Like for them, they know that Jaden Daniels will be back soon, whether it's against Seattle or Detroit, he'll be back soon. And so you want to give your team a chance with him. And even though we can all look at it and say, like, if you lose to Seattle, you're 3-6. Like this is a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how they view it. You know, now having said that, how the GM views it is another matter because that's a matter. But I just don't know that there's a lot there that you could say, you know, even like Brandon Coleman, like he was benched, but he's a young guard on a rookie contract.
You don't glad we had him last guys. Night, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you need him, right? And so it's just different. So I don't see that. See that.
All right. This is inconsequential, but it still is bothersome. Why do they punt down 28-7?
I don't have an answer for that. I don't have.
There's no good answer.
They knew the game was over.
I think he was just trying to stave off complete humiliation.
But Denver just pulled a comeback like that.
Yeah, but we all knew we weren't going to
win. Less than 1%.
I actually didn't even have a problem with it. I think he's trying to manage his team and try to have some juice going into the next week. Didn't want to lose by 40.
I don't. I think at that point you're just getting out of the game and play the game the way that you know because you're not, you know, I think if you're down a couple scores, like two scores, you have to go for it. Down three at that point, you know, and not. Yeah, I don't know that there's.
They raised the white flag.
A lot of coaches would have done that.
Surrender.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of coaches certainly would have done that.
Yeah.
Hey, John, any concern that Bill's numbers have taken a real nosedive since the Chargers game? He's averaged 3.6, 2.5, and 2.8 in his last three.
I think there should be big concerns, and it's not just about him. It's about the run game in general. Like, that, to me, is a big problem. And you're right. It's been since that Chargers game, and you know, we know the last couple of weeks it was like, okay, well, you know, you don't have Terry and Debo, and so they're playing a different way. And guess what? Now those guys are back, and they're still getting stopped. That's a very – I just thought last night was going to be so hard to play, to go out there and do what they want to do because that's a very, very good team on both sides and a very disciplined team. But having said that, like, it still needed to be – it needs to be a lot better. And if you're running between the tackles, could you give Rodriguez a few more carries as well? Because that's where he is best. I know like with Marcus, the feeling is he's really good on the quarterback designed runs versus Jaden is really much more dynamic on the scrambles. And so they try to incorporate that and moderate success at best. So, you know, I think that's something that I thought going in the second half of the year that the run game would get better just because the line would be at a position where, you know, Connolly at that point should be improving. And then you have Cosby back, but it's not playing out that way. And if it doesn't, they cannot rely on this pass game. They just don't have enough explosive players in the pass game to do that. They have to get that going, period.
John, thanks as always. Safe travels back here to the DC area. Try to get some sleep, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. That's John Kime on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Don't forget, coming up in just about an hour, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com joins us here on The Junks.
Washington hung for a half, and then the Chiefs pulled away. Danny, how do you make sense of that? Do you feel like it was just inevitable because the Chiefs are better? Or do you think there's a lot to drill down on in terms of Washington's performance getting worse?
I think both are true, and I know that's frustrating. I mean, to me, Kansas City's better, and if you don't take advantage, if you're not up 17-0 after the first three possessions, minimum, you still might lose the game, by the way, up 17-0, because Kansas City's going to figure it out. Too many playmakers, too much good, too much Mahomes. You're not out of the woods yet. But you'd at least give yourself a chance, right, if you were able to punch first. They didn't. The Deebo Samuel drop, two fourth downs you missed, the Jalen Lane kickoff, botch, embarrassment, nonsense, brain fart thing. As soon as those happened, I mean, Kansas City committed 9 penalties. Kansas City gave up 3 sacks. Kansas City turned the ball over 2 times. Pat Mahomes threw 2 interceptions. A ball hit Travis Kelce in the hands and landed to Bobby Wagner's. That doesn't happen. And you couldn't take advantage of any of those things to go down and score points, to keep the football, to master anything offensively and kind of, you know, exert your will. So to me, this is just as much good Kansas City as it is lack of a counterpunch Washington. They just look limited.
So I came into this game, and I said this on the air yesterday, wanting to see Washington control the controllables better than they did against Dallas. Effort, intensity, physicality, playing with an urgency, all that anecdotal stuff that didn't look like it was there. Catch the balls that are thrown to you. You know, don't make the ridiculous mistakes that you're better than. Because against Dallas, I just thought it was not only too listless for a game that they had to have in the division, but I thought that they played about as bad as they could play in a lot of areas. And I wanted all of that to look different and be cleaned up, even though you were probably going to lose to the Chiefs. And I got exactly what I wanted in the first quarter. I got exactly what I wanted in the first half. The second half, to me, looked a lot like that Cowboys game defensively. And that's what gives me major trepidation moving forward now against Seattle, coming to Landover off of a bye when you're on a very short week now, banged up with some injuries off of a Monday Night Football game. And it's what gives me a lot of pause about the Lions, who are going to come to D.C. looking to bludgeon you after you knock them out of the playoffs last season. The gauntlet continues here. The only thing that really changed is not only did you lose a game, but you're down some more men possibly. We'll wait and see on Terry McLaurin. He was optimistic, it sounds like, with reporters in the locker room after the game. There's been plenty of optimism on a bunch of guys that didn't play days later on a short week. McLaurin with the quad again. Jaden Daniels, who didn't play yesterday, we thought is certainly going to play against Seattle. That was kind of the vibe the team was setting last week anyway. Well, I'm sure you saw what I did, which was the Adam Schefter report. We'll play the audio coming up in a little bit later today. But he basically said they're being extra careful. I'm not going to be surprised if Daniels does not play on Sunday night against Seattle. That's a screeching tires, like spinning record, scratch moment where you go, wait, what? So is it possible that he misses another game? You mentioned the injury to Javon Kinlaw, who's vital to their run game against a team that pounds the football. You mentioned the injury to Laremy Tunsil, who came out of the game, went back in, came out of the game again. You and I were watching him. We were sitting side by side, 12 rows up from the bench. He had nothing. I mean, he was trying, God bless him, but like he couldn't move.
Yeah, there was a play, you know, early on, right? He comes back out of the tunnel and he's going to try to give it a go where he tries to fire off, can't, just kind of gives whatever effort he had, and he's got his hands on his hips, just kind of hobbling around. Finally, they pulled him mercifully and put Coleman back in. I actually thought Coleman did a pretty decent job in replacement. Not an easy thing to do in that environment, but it was clear that Tunsil just didn't have it, wanted to desperately, which is a testament to him. You know, same with Kinlaw, trying to go back in the game. You know, all these guys clearly have the burning desire to do something about it as the season's kind of slipping away. But again, there's nothing you can do.
What I hope is that when we look back on these three games in the gauntlet, we're not saying the Chiefs was the easiest game to win because you had the longest time to prepare for it, even though it was on the road, and you were the healthiest that you're going to be. Hopefully, a lot of these injuries are more dings than they are times missed, and these guys can get back on the field soon. But listen to this stat. I looked this up last night at the Airbnb when we got home while we were watching the World Series game that never ended, by the way. 18 innings last night before Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off
solo home run for the Dodgers.
Old Fanny Mouye was long in bed, not knowing how long that one was going to go. I didn't have the energy. I was sitting there, you know, my eyelids were probably 50, 60 pounds at that point, just like slowly but surely closing on the couch. So I hit the hay around the 14th, I think. But yeah, I woke up this morning to see Freddie Freeman. Old Nationals assassin Freddie Freeman hit that walk-off piece.
But by my quick scroll last night, the Commanders have lost consecutive games by at least 21 points, something that's only happened three other times in the previous 24 seasons. It's hard to do. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. So when you look at getting waxed by Dallas by 20-plus, and then you go on the road and you lose to the Chiefs by 21, and it could have been a lot worse than that, by the way, if the Chiefs decided to keep playing into the fourth quarter, they easily could have hung another touchdown on you, made it 35-7. But four times in 24 seasons. I mean, we're right back in the muck here. Now, I do think a lot of it is injuries, not an excuse and explanation. I also think there's some fatal flaws. Defensively, they're not very good. Offensively, right now, they scare nobody. There's nothing vertical. There's nothing easy. There's nothing explosive. And I don't want to hear excuses about the talent at wide receiver. Terry was back last night. Debo was back last night. And it was still a very horizontal offense that challenged the Chiefs down the field. Zippy. That's not because you didn't have Jaden Daniels. That was just what the offense looks like right now. Back-to-back games where I've got major questions about this O. But two games in a row you lose by 21 or more? Danny, over 24 seasons, it's happened three other times. And now you've got 5-2 Seattle and 5-2 Detroit. Like, this is getting perilous. This is really, really ugly for this team right now.
100%. I don't know a way around that. Like, it's an uncomfortable thing to confront because we're juxtaposing it with what happened last year. Last year is so magical, so perfect, so amazing, so awesome. Every break went your way. You earned those opportunities where a coin toss 50-50 thing goes your way and you're in the NFC title game. Again, the Hail Mary, Juwan Johnson dropping a two-point conversion, the Brian Daboll's kicker going down before the game starts, Devontae Smith dropping a pass, Jalen Hurts being injured, Malik Nabers dropping a pass. All these things add up to this magical run of a season that was so perfect. And regression is merciless, unforgiving, and painful. And that's what's happening. An old, slow roster is behaving like an old, slow roster. No fortuitous bounces. No breaks. You know, like, even go back to this game. How often does it happen in the league? Once every few weeks, a ball tips the hands of a receiver and goes to a defender. Washington got their first one of the year. First one of those. Last night when Bobby Wagner caught a pass off Travis Kelce's hands. It happens all the time in the league, I promise you. I promise you if you watch other games, you'll see that on occasion. It took 8 weeks for one of those good bounces to happen to Washington, whether it's fumbles going your way or otherwise.
The Chiefs have fumbled eight times this year and recovered all eight.
Again, the horseshoes are up there. They're great. If they'd lost all eight, I bet you they'd still be pretty good. I mean, they're awesome, but it's just you realize how charmed a ride that was, and now all the whatever the expression I'm looking for is, all the chickens are coming home to roost here. Like, the bad is turned up to 11 right now.
Well, the injuries are the best example of it.
Yes.
Last year, you stay healthy. This year, you're making up for lost time. And over a two-year span, it's going to even out to be about a normal amount of games missed, probably. They're just all going to be in this year's side of the ledger. For the most part.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.